Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Great. Morning. Great.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas to everyone. This being the fourth Sunday of the Advent season, 2019. It's been a 4 weeks of anticipation, expectancy. Right? How's that waiting spirituality working out for you? Right? Remember when you were children and Christmas Eve? Right, how hard it was to wait just to go to bed and all those type of things. I think when we really focus on the coming of the Christ child during Advent, 4 weeks of that Christmas Eve expectation. And if you think of how excited we were, right, at the same time, maybe even a anticipatory fear. Have I been good? am I getting P for presents or C for coal? All those type of things. It rightly fits this season of Advent for us. All right. So on this, the fourth Sunday, and a couple more days, we'll celebrate the coming of the Christ child. So today I thought during our Advent study that we would look at the theme of announcement. Right, so we're going to look in Luke's Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, we have three announcements. One to Zechariah with Elizabeth, John the Baptizer. Secondly, to Mary, right, in the coming of Jesus. And then thirdly, the shepherds. All right, but given that it's Christmas and we are speaking about little baby Jesus, I thought it'd be appropriate for our reading that we look at the announcement to Mary. So if I could have someone read from Luke chapter 1, beginning there at verse 26 through 38, I'd certainly appreciate that.
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One, to be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Initial thoughts, comments, questions. I think it'd be helpful. Sometimes when we read this, particularly if we compare it to when Gabriel speaks to Zechariah, pretty much every scripture in the Bible, when an angel appears, people are terrified. It's don't be afraid. It's probably a good indicator that I don't think I've really encountered Gabriel. Not really recalling all that. Fear. But I don't want to over summarize Mary's response, it just seems to be, okay, I'm not afraid, accept what you're saying, blah, 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 and we just go on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We can.
Yeah, the anxiety level of that, I wanted to kind of look at when she just says she's greatly troubled, doesn't say she says anything necessary to the angel, and then the angel says, listen, it's going to be all right. Like, my forehead wrinkles when I'm angry, or
right,
so says
right.
my ex-wife, you know, like, you can tell, I wear it on my face. So I don't know. Sometimes I think that non-communicative kind of reciprocity is cool to me. That's God, you know. That knowing, hey, I need to reach out to this person, even though they didn't physically ask for it. You know, they might need to be loved on or something. You know, to see that motto, I like that.
Well, one of the things that's always fascinated me is the text seems to guide us towards her confusion on. How can I have a child if I really haven't, right, had some mm-hmm. physical contact mm-hmm. here? Not the whole idea you're going to give birth to the Son of God.
Like she misses the gravity of it.
Or, well, okay, we, right, that's why I said, I think sometimes it's interesting that we tend to gravitate towards that. And, you know, maybe part of her perplexion is like, I think she's a really, really good woman, right? With Joseph and David and what have you. Understands her Jewish heritage. No, and part of that heritage is this long-awaited Messiah coming. I think she's well aware of that. And not that she just flippantly accepts that, but she gets the magnitude of the moment, given that history. Thus, her confusion is, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Not, oh, it's the Son of God? Because we'll know shortly hereafter, you know, a few verses down, she starts singing her praise, right, in the Magnificat. So she fully embraces the magnitude of the miracle that's about to take place. Right, that this is going to be the Son of God.
Well, Mary was definitely highly favored by God for some reason. I mean, he picked her. Highly favored can also mean filled with grace. And we can relate to that because all believers in Christ are filled with grace.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And I, for our listening audience, we've even studied a little bit prior to this broadcast that over the years the church has referred to Mary as Theodokos, right? God bearer, the one that bears God. And we stretch that and say, well, shouldn't we all be God bearers, right? If we are all favored, graced, all right? Shouldn't we all be bearing God? I think there's some parallels with this pronouncement. I mean, this announcement. I think we, right, when somebody brings us the good news, how do you respond to it? I mean, Christmas is coming. The Christ child is coming. We celebrate it again. It's a time of renewal. We practice some contrition. We try to strengthen our spiritual walk, all these type of things. But how do we really respond to the announcement? Look, if I say Jesus is your Lord and Savior, how do you respond to that?
Well, you can either accept it or you don't. I mean, that's kind of like how you respond to that. It's kind of like how Mary responded when she found out she was going to give birth to Jesus. I don't know if you understand that, but it kind of relates, like someone's making an announcement to her.
Yeah, I am trying to make that kind of parallel.
Okay.
I think that's what we see like with the shepherds, the right. announcement to the shepherds that follows. Because here at Neighbors of Hope, we can kind of put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherds, or the sandals, I should say. Right? Oftentimes we refer ourselves as kind of stinky-footed men, in a humorous way, non-judgmental. But Like shepherds, marginalized, outcast, least of them, those type of adjectives really correlate to the population here at Neighbors of Hope. Oftentimes we feel that way. And I think sometimes when we ask the announcer, the messenger, all right, how can that be? You know, isn't it really our own guilt and judging self that gets in the way? Saying, well, huh? No, if God really knew me and knew my past, he's not going to have favor on me. He's not going to grace me.
Right.
Whereas I think with Mary, and even with Zechariah, and even the shepherds, that goes out the window. Right? They don't necessarily see themselves unfavored, ungraced. Confused, sure, mm-hmm. But they do accept it.
And that confusion is seen cool in that part where they're like, well, you know, let the power of the Most High is gonna kind of come over you in this, and those times where it's like, I don't know, the equality angle is so cool to see in the Christmas season for, in a culture like this, when you read in the Gospels, it seems more, it's almost, I mean, it's a socioeconomic thing, but it's like a class thing, and it's just cool to see in Christmas that same spirit. People will care. I see love connect people that in normal, in June, would have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, if there is a sadness about the Christmas season, it's unfortunate it's not year-round.
Correct.
That's because there's something supernatural, maybe some divine about Christmas, as far as like the birth of Jesus was like a supernatural, and that's probably not the right word, but some kind of divine. It just happened, and like around Christmas time, what he said about people won't have nothing to do with you in June, but they will in December.
Yeah.
Something you can't explain, some kind of force, yeah, just like brings people together, I think, around Christmas time. Yeah. But for me, Christmas is about peace, and it happens at the end of the world, at the end of the year, I'm sorry. And then in January, it just starts something new. It's like a new year, you know. But different religions, I mean, I guess they believe different things. I don't see how people, like, for example, there's some Catholics that believe Mary was without sin. So I guess it just depends on your personal belief, you know. But I definitely believe that Jesus was born again and to birth something new, you know. The old way was crucified in a sense, and then something new started when he was born. So for me, celebrate it in December. Come January, something new. It's a new year. Hmm. So to me, it's about starting over.
Yeah. It is a season. Advent is not the beginning of the church calendar. It is the beginning of the new church year. So, okay. Like any, typically do these types of things. Whether you're in a business, you know, you're going to do an assessment. You know, how well we do. That can be in a family. Individually, we may set some goals. I mean, we take an inventory, right? We assess how well we're doing, and where are we? My weaknesses. If it's a true inventory, you know, what am I out of? What can I do better moving forward? And that really should right in the film, Mark. Kind of be our attitude taken during a season event, season of Advent as we move forward. That's what our spiritual growth is all about. Any other thoughts on announcement here?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful that we serve a Messiah that, you know, I mean, culturally we get caught up in trees and presents and stuff, but we do serve a Messiah. You maybe think of it that when we do assess ourselves and we do come to those deficits, we do serve a God that's so good that we can ask for those things, you know, and the stocking is secondary. But those kind of spiritual deficits, hey, help me work on my communication or my transparency or my vulnerability. Let me be more like this Jesus that's born this season. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we should really dream big.
Hmm. I agree with that.
Throughout the scripture, you know, it's God tends to call us to things that are things we couldn't even fathom.
Amen.
We've all had those moments where I didn't think I could do that, or
amen.
Right, I think Mary's having the same thing.
Yeah.
I think prior to her her visitation there by Gabriel, probably was just right. She's engaged, just a lowly Jewish bride-to-be, and I'm going to try and make it one day at a time like everybody else, you know, in my little village, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, there's this interruption. Right? And maybe we, the season of Advent, coming to Christmas, New Year, maybe our challenge is to pay attention to those interruptions. Maybe we're being invited to go someplace where we never saw it coming. Hmm. And things happen that we never thought were going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the power of God. Well, once again, gentlemen, thank you. And Merry Christmas to each of you. I know we look forward to celebrating the coming of the Christ event with you this coming Wednesday. But until we meet again next week, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.